Welcome to Broadway Baby, the podcast taking one casual theater goer to full out fangirl. I'm your host, Kimberly Schmidt, here with my husband, Jay Schmidt.
Hi, guys.
And our baby, Alex Fasella.
And I don't know the territory.
This week, we watched the movie The Music Man. But first, has baby met world?
I have. So after much hemming and hawing about it for no particular reason, I finally bought a copy of the movie that I'm making a musical out of. So I watched The Patriot, and because I knew really well what happens in Act One, but I was, from the times I've watched it before, I was like, hang on, my first act ends at 45 minutes into the movie. This is a 2-hour and 45-minute movie.
Oh, did
I do wrong? And as I'm watching through, I was like, okay, I know that there's a twist that Miles and I added that at the, I kind of have a ripcord where it's like, okay, if my, what I thought was Act One's break isn't that, we can just use that. But now that I'm watching it again, the movie, everything that happens after where I thought Act One ended has very much Act Two energy, because it's literally Act Two of the movie. So I think it'll be fine. And honestly, the first act of The Patriot is pretty solid. Acts Two and Three is where it starts to get, the writing gets kind of sloppy. So I think we just have to condense some stuff. And we also, I have a pretty good instinct for seeing like exposition that they put toward the middle of the movie could just go earlier and it would still work. And then it would function better as set up for Act Two. And that's kind of the fun of adapting, is going like, well, what can move around? What will be broken if it moves around? I wrote some more songs because I forgot how much fighting they do. And one of the themes of this musical is violence. So I was like, well, every moment of violence should at least be kind of musicalized, if not in like a people singing their feelings kind of way, in like a score way. Mm-hmm. So I wrote some songs that were basically cobbled out of other songs I'd written to show whatever themes I was trying to highlight. Like there's a montage of them kind of taking out some British, like little bits of skirmishes. So I made a thing like that. And then there's one where the British overtake them and that moves the story. And I made some stuff out of that. And I don't know, all of it was instrumental. And I don't know if I'm necessarily writing songs that don't have lyrics or if this is just like score that wouldn't make it to the cast album, but I figured better to write it and have control over it than just leave it to chance. I also wrote an I Want song for his middlest son, Thomas, who's the one that is like 14 and really wants to go to war, but the dad won't let him. Mm-hmm. And so I had tried to write like a sort of like punk song that you'd like when you were 15 years old, like a pop punk or like a Violent Femmes, like Impotent Rage kind of a song. And I wrote it and I stressed about it for like 3 days and I finally made it work. And then I listened to it. I was like, this works, but it's also not great, which is a weird phenomenon of like, oh, this is logical within itself, but also I don't know if I like this very much. And then I thought, what else could I do with it? And I was like, oh, what if I did like just something to make it cooler, because this sounds a little too nerdy. What if I made it like a Black Keys, White Stripes kind of like modern blues song? So then I just did like a shameless Black Keys impression, and I think the turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Yep. And other than that, I've gotten real into Aida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to cover it in the next couple shows. I was like, oh, listen to that. And I was like, I really, really love, I keep forgetting how much I like Elton John. And yeah. I've listened to the whole show. I've watched most of a bootleg. I think that it doesn't always work in that it's, the tone of its music is often like defiantly out of step with whatever moment led to it. Like something really dark will happen and then like a balls out pop song will happen. But also I kind of like that about it. That's like, yeah, this is just, we're going to cram an Elton John song in here that's not going to make any sense. But also you knew what you were signing up for. So
yeah, it's no more or less elegant than like Andrew Lloyd Webber in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And like I said, I think it's almost kind of fun how much it will like jar you with a pop song. So I want to do that next.
I've never actually seen a production. I only know the album, which I was obsessed with for like, you know, when you only listen to one album for months. That was one of mine in like middle school.
Yeah. Was it because of Adam Pascal?
Probably is probably why I bought the album. And then I was just like, who is Heather Headley?
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, I love her. They were working on a revival before the world stopped. So
yeah, I wanted to see that.
I hope it returns.
That's all the world, Barry.
I would actually see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have we met any world?
I've been listening to a lot of Dear Evan Hansen lately. The TikTok about how of what songs they cut and probably why they cut them frustrates me.
What they cut and why?
They're trying to make Evan seem more sympathetic, and they're trying to make it seem like
they cut Anybody Have a Map, they cut Disappear, they cut
Good the opening you. Song?
Yeah, it just starts with Waving Through a Window.
Huh.
And then they cut what's it called? Good for You?
Yeah, right.
I almost said You Got It Bad.
No.
Good for You.
You Got It Coming.
He Had It Coming is what the song should be called and what should happen.
That's a lot of songs that are, some of those are my favorite songs in the whole show.
Yeah, and I think he wrote some new ones.
Okay.
But still.
Why?
I don't, to win an Oscar.
I don't know, man. I just feel like they cut Does Anyone Have a Map because they got people who couldn't sing it to play the parts.
Yeah. And they also, the show had been, I wonder if it's like leaning into the changes they had already started making, because there used to be that song, a different, both of the moms singing about, what was it called, The Bedroom Down the Hall, something like that. So that song had already been cut. So then why not already cut Anybody Have a Map and then really not make it about a mother's journey at all?
I don't like the sound of any of that. I'm hoping this is good, but that does not give me hope.
Yeah, that made me a little anxious.
Yeah. So I've been listening to Evan Hansen and be like, this is what, remember, George.
If you didn't say it, I was gonna.
Oh my goodness. That's pretty much it. Oh, I watched that terrible Cinderella movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it was bad?
Yeah. It was like a fun time while I was watching it. And then afterwards, I was like, that wasn't very good. But like,
it wasn't Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella, though, right?
No. Okay. It was Pop Song Cinderella.
Okay. Pop song as in just a style pop song or like a jukebox show Cinderella?
Jukebox pop songs.
Oh, no. I don't like the sound of that.
Except the Cinderella I Want song Camila Cabello wrote herself.
Okay.
And then Idina Menzel's Evil song, Idina Menzel co-wrote herself.
Oh, okay.
And that song was good because it was a musical theater song.
Gotcha.
And like, wasn't just the same lyric over and over again. It felt like it would have been like a fun made for TV Disney movie.
Yeah.
But there was a little too much like, this is going to be good behind it.
Yeah. If you lowered your expectations, if it wanted you to lower your expectations.
It didn't want me to, but had I would have had a better time.
Gotcha.
Shall we word of the week?
Word of the week.
Speaking of things that might come back and might not, we'll just talk about reopening.
Yay.
It's basically just more Baby Meets World, but in the future and hopeful. because last week, Hadestown and Waitress reopened everything. So it's starting. It's coming. So I just want to talk about what we're excited
for. This may be the first time that Broadway has, quote unquote, reopened.
Yeah. So I was having a conversation yesterday and the thought just kind of dawned on me of like, are they getting reviewed? Hmm. And I think the answer is no.
Yeah, I don't think it feels more like it's not a new production. It's just we can do it again. So probably not.
Yeah. And it, like it would seem almost in bad taste to be like, oh, you took 2 years off. Let's see if you can still do it.
Yeah,
very much.
Show us what you got. unless
it was like we did a bunch of different stuff for the reopening, that would be a different thing. But it just doesn't sound like anyone was really doing.
Is Waitress gonna get reviewed? Because it's technically a revival.
No, it's not. It's the same production. It's just in a different theater.
I understand, but they had closed.
But because it's the same production, it's just a remount, not a revive.
It was more of an oopsie closer.
It's just there's also that thing of like they unclosed Waitress.
Yeah.
And so what else will they unclose? Because at this point, I kind of forgot that Waitress had already closed.
And I think that's what they're banking on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's to say? But like, I don't think so, because also she's already done it. Like, it's not a new cast.
Yeah, no.
Are they going to film it? I just assume that's what's happening.
Yeah, I hope so. I would love a waitress live capture.
Yeah, that's my assumption with why it's happening at all, but I don't know if they are actually doing that.
What are the next shows? So
we'll get Wicked, Hamilton, and The Lion King all on the same day.
Wow.
Okay.
Broadway day.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of like as a stream of like, and then in October we'll get Phantom, and November we'll get Company, and November we'll get Doubtfire.
Doubtfire.
So that's the other interesting thing, is there are some shows that didn't open yet and are new. So will they get reviewed right away? Because like Six and Doubtfire will resume previews.
Yeah, those will have to get reviewed because it's just back to normal.
Yeah, but... and Company, I think, hadn't opened yet.
No.
Because they'll all be eligible for Tonys. And so then it is like previews again, where all of these other shows that we're long running, like Wicked and Hamilton, are just like, and we're open again. Like, they're not doing previews.
No. What if they had to go back through the preview process again?
No. Well, the fascinating thing is that as I watch people I follow on Instagram and TikTok is watching full companies rehearse for shows that have been running for years.
Yeah.
Megan Picerno, who's going back into Phantom of the Opera, when she first was Christine, she rehearsed alone with a stage manager until she got, like, she was the only replacement going in at that time.
Wow.
So she rehearsed alone until she joined the show. And now Phantom of the Opera has a full company music rehearsal on the books.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which hasn't happened since we've been alive, pretty much.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Actually crazy.
Isn't that insane? And like, I was talking to someone who's in Wicked, and just like the idea of the full creative team coming back. Hamilton too, like, just the full creative team hasn't been in a rehearsal space with the full company.
Oh, I thought you said Hamilton too, like the second Hamilton.
No.
Follow John Barker Church Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah. About his tan.
It'd be about the making of that Got Milk commercial.
So the reopening that I'm following is just fascinating. Hadestown, did you see the facade of the theater?
With all the ivy?
Yeah, all the red ivy and flowers.
It's awesome.
It's gorgeous. And then after their reopening night, the cast just stood out on their fire escapes and sang. Everyone just stood in the street, which felt unsafe. There's still a little bit of like, be careful, everyone. Hold your breath.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're checking, I mean, like, I went and saw a movie on Friday, and they were checking vaccine status like pretty aggressively at the theater. And if the Broadway houses are doing that, then I feel comfortable.
Because they're checking vaccine and ID. Like, I feel like not everywhere you're going inside is asking for your ID to cross-reference.
Yeah.
I was about to say a bar I went to did, but that's because they wanted to make sure I was 21. That was sort of a double.
But that made you feel good, though. That also made you feel good for different reasons.
Yes, because I didn't get carded the other day, and my sister-in-law did, and it was very distressing. Taylor got carded, but not me.
Well, she is
right next to each other.
She is younger than you.
Yes, I know.
Like considerably younger.
Yeah, I know. But the person was just like, oh, cool, can I see your ID? And she was like, yeah, of course. And then I ordered something. She goes, okay, cool. And I had my ID ready.
You gargoyle. You're fine.
Like, I had my ID ready because they asked for Taylor's. And then she was like, oh, I'll look at it. And I went, oh, no.
Oh, no, that's the worst.
No.
I look so much not my age that when people ask for my ID at bars, it's almost like an accusation. Like, hey, are you up to something? I'm like, no, I'm 35.
Are they like, oh?
You do look young enough that you've pretty much gotten to the age where your ID number looks fake. Yeah. It's like you still can skew like 20.
So it's like, tell me about 1998. Yeah. Well, you weren't there.
35, huh? Are you three kids in a trench coat? You legally have to tell me if you're three kids in a trench coat.
Yep. That's going to be my life.
Yeah. Hey, it's where there are worse problems to have. I'm so sorry.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm so sorry, you look so young. What a bummer.
I'm going to see if there's like a timeline somewhere of reopening Broadway dates. Because then I was like, oh, well, also Evan Hansen has to come back. And there are plays opening.
When's Girl from the North Country coming back? Because I didn't even know they were. I'm sure that's down the priority list, but I'm just weirdly fascinated by that show.
I'm shocked that they're coming back.
Me too. Me too.
There are a good amount of shows that I'm like, you guys are coming back? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's a list in alphabetical order of when things come back. Ain't Too Proud comes back October 16th. Aladdin is back September 28th. The Book of Mormon is back November 5th. Carolina Change will start previews October 8th. Ooh. Chicago is back September 14th. The Rockettes are back November 5th. Come From Away is back September 21st. Company starts previews November 15th. Dear Evan Hansen, December 11th.
Really?
That's fascinating because the movie's coming out. You think they'd want that to boost sales?
I think they're waiting for the movie to do well, and then they can build hype for opening in December.
Yeah, interesting.
I don't think they want to compete against their own movie.
That's fair.
Yeah, probably.
Diana will resume previews November 2nd. Freestyle Love Supreme comes back October 7th.
Flying. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I thought that was just sort of a one-off-ish.
Well, they're back. Their marquee never came down.
Yeah, I like them. I'm happy about that. I just didn't expect to hear that.
I know. Flying Over Sunset with Carmen Cusack comes back November 11th. Girl from the North Country resumes previews October 13th.
Okay.
Hadestown is back already. Hamilton's back September 14th. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child comes back November 12th. And I believe they're combining it into one show.
They are.
Okay.
How I Learned to Drive, March. Oh, March. Wow. Jagged Little Pill, October 21st. The Lion King, September 14th. MJ the Musical will start previews December 6th.
Cool.
Moulin Rouge comes back September 24th. Mrs. Doubtfire, October 21st.
I've been seeing a lot of Moulin Rouge commercials.
Oh, really?
My algorithm has me figured out. It's
also, The Music Man is starting in December. Then The Phantom starts in October. Oh, 6th, September 17th. Springsteen's been back.
Wait, Springsteen's back? I thought that was another just sort of a gone thing.
I think he just did June to September. Yeah. He did June to September because then Hadestown went back in.
Yeah. So was he doing just another one or is it considered the same thing?
I think it was the same thing. Tina, the Tina Turner musical, October 8th. That I'm excited for. Waitress and Wicked. So it's all happening.
Yeah. I think
nothing bad has happened yet.
I think I want Waitress to be my first show back. I've thought about it a bit.
We keep discussing and can't decide. I was going to surprise you with Waitress tickets for Thursday.
Oh.
But the cheapest ticket was $315. Oh. And I didn't think the surprise of can't pay my rent this month, but here's Waitress tickets would have been a good surprise.
Oh, I would have been pissed.
We're poor, like, but here's a pie.
Here's a surprise, Waitress tickets. Here's another surprise. Can you spot me $600? not a good surprise. Don't ever gift your significant other with something you can't afford. Yeah.
And that's
like a car, those dumb car commercials.
I've been kind of like struggling with this. It's like, yeah, I love talking about what's your show back? Or I don't want to pay $300 to go see anything really.
No.
Unless it's Hamilton. That is my limit. Like
even that. So even expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And then I hate being the person that's like, it's been like 2 years. I'm so excited for Broadway. And then I'm like, do you think there's a lottery or like a rush line? Like, how do I get $40 tickets?
Yeah.
But that is also my current mindset. And I think a lot of people's mindset coming off of a global pandemic.
You're not wrong to do so. The tickets are too expensive. That's how it is.
But also like cash those checks while you can, kids.
Yep.
Like not that they're going away, but just like while they're expensive.
Yeah.
Get that money, Sarah Bareilles. Mm-hmm. And everyone she is currently employing.
Yeah. I'm glad they got her back as Jenna for a while, just because I she was my Jenna and she was really good. So
yeah,
I was just
and
happy.
And she's
that,
only
like,
back for three of the 6 weeks, right? She's only doing half of the run.
They're only doing 6 weeks.
That's why I think they're filming it.
Okay. Also, probably why it's so expensive, because
yes,
probably like limited time.
Who's coming into the second half?
I don't think they've announced yet.
Oh.
So we'll see.
Okay.
Are we getting Elle Roker stunt cast again?
As Jenna this time. I
it's
forgot.
It's amazing
he did
what
that.
Baking can do.
What a fresh hell that would be.
You think we wouldn't be lining up to see it out of morbid curiosity, though?
No.
No.
Oh,
It's been so long, Alex.
Not when the tickets are that much.
Yeah, not when it's that much, but like, you know,
Jaber,
I've
you and I
that
have
booth,
seen a
like,
show.
Hmm?
You and I have seen a show.
What did we see?
We saw On Your Feet.
Oh, yeah, we saw On Your Feet at the Muni.
Oh, we went to our first show back.
Is that the Gloria Estefan show?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And there's a regional production at the Muni then going to the Kansas City Starlight.
Yes.
So our first show back was a giant outdoor amphitheater in St. Louis.
Yeah.
It was great.
Kimberly wanted to see the Muni, and that was the show they were playing that when we were there. So that's what we saw.
Yeah. And I cried the whole time.
So a good show?
Here's the thing.
I was just like, they're doing it. They're living their dreams. They made it. We made it. We're here, guys. We did it.
That's the thing. It was the kind of fans that you and I are, Kimberly. If we're like, oh, we cried the whole time. And then someone's like, is it good? You're like, I could take it or leave it. But it was there. We were doing it.
The theater is magic.
There's two shows that were happening in my head. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, the cast was great. The Gloria and the Emilio were both very, very well, like, good.
They're married in real life, so they could make out.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, good kissing, guys. The show itself just isn't very well done. When even my mother goes, that's story structure, huh? And I was like, yeah, it's not good. She's like, yeah, that does shoot. But even when my mom, who's Mrs. Positive, was like, that didn't need to be 2.5 hours. I was like, you are right.
Speaking of shows that don't need to be 2.5 hours.
Shall we just move out right along?
I didn't expect that to be the transition. But honestly, from my experience of watching The Music Man, I agree that should be the transition.
It shouldn't be as long as Pulp Fiction, this movie.
So long.
And I liked it, but it shouldn't be as long as Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, so let's get into The Music Man. We watched the 1962 movie musicale, which, speaking of why it is 2.5 hours long, it is the director who directed it on Broadway, directed and produced the movie. And so there are extremely minimal changes from stage to screen, which, as we talked about with Dear Evan Hansen, not always the case.
Yep.
And usually the case is we cut these songs so it would be shorter. And in this case, he's like, you're getting your full 15 intermission in, guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Take it.
Oh, you thought we were getting rid of the barbershop quartet? Well, sit down, motherfucker.
Absolutely not.
I love the barbershop quartet. They're my favorite part.
The only things that changed from the show is they shortened Rock Island, the middle verse of My White Knight. Was replaced with Being in Love.
These are not shortenings. These are just this is trims.
Literally, the one thing that was changed is that Tommy Gelis says Geely Cly in the stage production, and he says Great Honk in the movie.
Geely Cly?
Geely Cly!
Great Honk is much better.
Yeah. Because Geely Cly sounds like it could be a name, so it's kind of confusing.
Yeah. Great Honk. I've started using Great Honk in my everyday conversations.
Ye gods.
Ye gods.
So, The Music Man was fun to revisit after watching all of Schmigadoon.
Okay.
Because I was just like, oh, interesting. Oh, I feel like we're just jumping all over the place. Let's just go right into personal histories, as we always do. My personal history with The Music Man is I don't think I've ever seen it on stage.
Really?
I think I've truly only ever seen this movie many times when I was younger. And then I think we had to watch it in college a few times. And then like clips here and there of productions. Like I've watched Norm Lewis in that production at the Kennedy Center. I've watched that a few times.
Oh, that's good casting.
Yeah, right?
I would love to see that.
Yeah. And that's really it. And I feel like The Music Man is one of those shows that I, a lot of times, I'm like, I know what The Music Man's about. And then I sit down with it again and I'm like, oh yeah, this. Oh yeah, this.
For a movie that's premise is delightfully flimsy, that plot is Byzantine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I used to sing Goodnight, My Someone and My White Knight in voice lessons.
Oh, you mean the songs that could very easily replace each other and should only be one song?
You know, for an instance, I was just like, wait, I sang two songs from The Music Man. Yeah. Are they not the same
that
song?
That serve the same purpose? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Jay, what is your history with Music Man?
The first time I saw Music Man on stage, Harold Hill was played by my little brother, Zachary, in a middle school production of Music Man, and he was very good. And then that's
he probably was very good.
Yeah, and that's about it. That's all I know. Yeah, he knows all the words to like all the patter stuff.
Aw.
If you ever push him on it, he might still remember it.
All right, I'll push him on it. Zachary.
Yeah. I think for me, going back through Music Man and watching the show, it has become abundantly clear that that Music Man is the Napoleon Dynamite of musicals. I think it is so much better in the remembering of it than it is in the actual watching of it.
Yeah, probably.
I was like, oh yeah, these are all fun moments, but I don't like how these are connected to each other.
Sure. Alex, what's your personal history with this show?
I actually have a lot of history with this show because this is the first musical that I ever saw on stage ever.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was in sixth
grade. With Jay's little brother in middle school?
Yes, yeah. It was the weirdest thing. I was just in Missouri for some reason. I don't even know how I got there.
Oh, where did you see it?
I was in sixth grade and I got 110 on a spelling test, which the teacher announced to everyone while the test was going on, which I feel is not okay to do to a class. But that's what happened.
No.
And the prize for the spelling test was two free tickets to see, I can't remember if it was my middle school or if it was the high school do the Music Man. It was one of those. But I won, and it was on a Sunday, and I made my dad take me, and given my father's hatred of musicals, there are moments where this strains my ability to have fun with a musical, so he must have been miserable. But I had a great time. I liked all the songs. I still like a lot of the songs to this day. I thought the cast was really fun. There are certain things in it that like are still my reference point for the, like that was the first time I heard the word Balzac. And so now whenever I hear the writer's Balzac's name, I just think of the Music Man.
Balzac.
The song Shapoopy has been living rent free in my head since 1999. I had forgotten what show it came from, but I knew it was one of those. And I had a great time. And I still at that point had old man taste in music. So I was very convinced that Paul McCartney had written There Was Love All Around, but I never heard whatever until There Was You. And so I was like, wait, this wasn't a Beatles song? And I think it's so, I like both versions. I kind of like the Beatles one better, but I still really like it in this show.
I like it in The Wedding Singer.
Yes.
Yeah.
When she pays him in meatballs.
But it was interesting watching it as an adult and remembering watching it as a kid, because as a kid I had a wicked ADD that was not noticed until I was an adult, so I'm sure that I was probably bored in stretches, and I'm sure that a lot of it went over my head just because it was so much. But the colorfulness and the amount of fun that the cast was clearly having and stuff was very, very infectious to me, so I left there just jazzed.
Yeah. This is one of the most done shows. Would you say that? Like regionally,
yeah.
High schools, revivals, like someone's always doing the Music Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because it sells tickets.
Yeah. And also like if your Harold Hill is good.
If your Harold Hill is good, it's a really fun show.
And this goes against what we've said about How to Succeed in Business, because if your J. Pierpont Finch is really good, still weird show.
Yeah.
Still what's going on there?
I was thinking there was a similarity because it is kind of the same principle, but this is much better written, because it, this, remember I was saying about How to Succeed, I was like, if all the stuff in business was a pushover but the relationship was hard, it would work. This is that.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
the relationship is more believable. Him like changing and becoming a good person is more believable.
And it's still not believable at all, but it is more believable.
Yes, more believable is all you can ask from a musical.
Yeah. We'll get into it, but the love story in this, I think, is it's kind of, if it has a downfall, it is that, because it's not played out very well. But like, I have a lot of nice things to say about the show too.
Yeah. And then, I will
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask the fun age-old question of musical theater people. When did you realize that Meredith Willson was a man?
Oh,
About 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it was when I watched the movie, it said adapted from his, I was like, wait, what? And then watching the show, I was like, oh yes, a man wrote this. There's no way a woman wrote this story. No. Oh, she's called out for being this person who's way too smart for the town, then spends the rest of the love story acting really dumb. Oh, a man wrote this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking
of people doing this show all the time, are we excited for Hugh Jackman?
Here's the thing about that. If you were going, Hugh Jackman as Harold Hill is simultaneously excellent casting and wildly unimaginative casting, because if you were to say to me, "Stunt cast the Music Man," I'd be like, Hugh Jackman, and he's gonna nail it. But also it's like, yeah, I can already see that show in my head and I don't care enough to pay plus I'm mad at him because it turns out he's friends with Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, so I don't really want to give him money right now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm mad at Hugh Jackman for being nice to fascists.
He's apparently just very nice all around.
Sure he is.
That's a shame. Yep. I agree with you. I think he will absolutely knock it out of the park.
Yep. I think
he's too old, but I also think that he has a very youthful energy, so no one will notice.
Have you seen how old Preston looks in this movie?
Because he's also too old.
Yes. It makes the love story more uncomfortable.
Yeah, really does.
It really does. Well, I guess we've already been told she was in love with an old man before.
Oh, that tracks. You know, that actually tracks.
Don't they say in the story that she was just nice to him and it wasn't a romance thing?
They say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I thought it was just the town going, it must have been a sex thing. And she's like, well, I can't have a friend.
Well, you know, those fan theories that Winthrop is his child, so... And not her brother.
Huh. I did not know the Music Man had headcanon lore.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Is it weird? I think Hugh Jackman's gonna be insanely good. It like almost frustrates me how good of a business move it is.
Yeah.
But truthfully, at the end of the day, I think the sleeper hit of that is gonna be Sutton Foster is just gonna run circles around that dude, and I'm here for it. I can't wait.
Yeah, she's going to nail it.
She might actually give us like a Marion the Librarian that like actually is not just plot device after plot device.
I hope so.
Yeah.
One thing we talked about, and then I saw this on Wikipedia today, is the fact that what is the con if at the end they have become a marching band?
That is a point that I brought up. Thank you very much.
That's why I said we were talking about it.
I watched this movie and the whole time I was texting Kimberly. He shows up. He sells them instruments. He sells them uniforms. You know what arrived? Instruments. Uniforms.
But he says he's going to teach them to play and then doesn't.
So just sell them things they'll actually use. Like,
oh, okay, so you're saying it doesn't need to be a con. It could just be like,
why can't he just be a good salesman?
Like, he's a good salesman. People need to buy things. Why doesn't he just sell things that people want to buy?
Yeah.
I don't understand the con.
Like, did he get a deal on all these instruments he's trying to pawn off on people?
Is well known for his con already, so it's like time is running out for him to get rid of them, I guess.
But for me, it's like ordered. So. I just feel like the con, like I always remember he's a con. So he shows up and he sells them things, but they never come, and then he dips. But then I'm like, oh yeah, but in this movie, like he accidentally sends the order and they come, and it's like, oh no.
So,
but it's like, no, that's always the plan. It's like, I don't understand what the con is.
allow me to read a sentence from Wikipedia that changed my world this morning.
Meredith Molson actually was a woman the whole time.
As the boys march out of the town hall, they are suddenly transformed in the townspeople's imagination into a spectacular marching band in resplendent uniforms, playing and marching with perfection, led by Hill.
I thought it was a time jump.
It's apparently an imagination.
Oh, like when their uniforms change at the end, when they get even snazzier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they become an
actual. I always thought it was like a 1 year later, they're actually pretty good.
No, it's like their parents go, he's not so bad. And look at them. And in a parent's eye, they're a real marching band.
Oh, wow.
And that made me mad.
Yeah, no. I mean, the concept of like, of the kids playing like crap, but the parents being like, it's my kid, look at him. Like that actually holds a lot of weight.
It's the waiting for Guffman effect.
Yeah. I think, everyone's like, he's not teaching them. It's like, I don't think you understand how low the bar is for children playing woodwinds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the interesting thing, rewatching through this, I like simultaneously loved watching this again and also was like really frustrated watching this again.
I couldn't agree more.
The interesting thing about this, about The Music Man, really like going back to it, The Music Man has one of the most interesting senses of humor of any show I've seen in quite a while. Like the world of this town is both like farcical and like very realistic at the same time. It's one of those things where I was texting Kimberly and I was like, if they did this on purpose, this is one of the funniest musicals ever written. But I'm not sure some of this is on purpose.
I found the running gags to be insufferable, but there were good goofs in there. But like, ye gods, I was like, stop. I hate this.
But like, I thought like I don't think the performance of the mayor is very good in this, but that's going to be so funny. Apparently, Kimberly just showed me as I'm talking about the mayor that Jefferson Mays is playing Mayor Shin.
Okay.
He played all of the uncles and cousins in Gentleman's Guide.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what that is. He's incredible.
This cast is pretty stacked.
No way.
Yeah, Shuler Hensley is Marcellus, who was Judd in the Oklahoma revival. Oh, Hugh Jackman. Jane Howdyshell is Mrs. Shin.
But there's some, like when he keeps trying to go into the four score and then they call back to it at the other town hall, I was like, that's funny. I was like, that's a great callback. That's a good bit. And I was like, it's a little esoteric of a bit and I love it. But like, and like the Grecian urns, like there's some
where the books all fall off their heads.
Oh, dude, it's so funny.
Solid sight gag.
Yeah, it's so like there's certain things where I'm like, man, this, I can't tell if this is genius or not from a comedic perspective.
I think honestly, it's just such a comedic mixed bag because I'm like, that's funny. That's insufferable. That's funny. That's the same joke again. And it wasn't good the first, like, it's such a mixed bag that you're like, it kind of makes me feel. So I really like the opening number with the patter about sales. It's so bewildering because it's so intricate and about a lot of things I don't understand that it always kind of feels like a fever dream a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the whole show kind of feels like that. Sometimes it's on purpose and sometimes it doesn't know it's doing that.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I think like every song in this show has such a strong hook for conceptually what it's trying to do. But then like when you really like Pick a Little, Talk a Little is like, this is interesting. Oh, cool. I get what they're doing here. But then you take like one step back and you go, wait, what? Why are they singing like chickens? I don't understand. Yeah. What? Why is that important? What's another barbershop? Well, yeah. I mean, I do Pick a Little, Talk a Little whenever you and your mom are giving me a little cheap, cheap, cheap. You know
well,
I mean?
And also... It's was like a daily warm up in choir class in high school.
Yeah, but then but also, I'm gonna be honest with you. You can put a barbershop quartet in any show. I am into it. I love a barbershop quartet. I don't know why. It always just like musically, it just sounds like a magic trick, and I love it. It just makes.
I'll give you one like Barbershop Quartet song. I want them out of this movie.
I love it. The Buffalo Bills. Come on.
Because they're good singing. They stopped the show. A show that shouldn't be stopped.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right.
You're right.
What are their name in Disney World? The Dapper Dance.
The Dapper Dance. Come on.
Yeah.
It just, like, I don't know. I love it. I love Barbershop. It's just nice. And they have their little vests and little hats. Man, they're like purple and green and black striped outfits at the end. I was like, look at you guys.
The costumes in this movie are on point.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited for the costumes and the sets in the revival because it's basically the whole team from Hello Dolly, which is gorgeous.
Mourn the loss culturally of what all of the suits that Harold Hill wears in this movie. I want every single one. And everyone's like, oh man, like, I feel like Harold Hill to a degree is like the James Bond of musical roles, and that, like, okay, if you're gonna play Harold Hill, you gotta know how to wear a suit.
Yes.
Suit. You gotta look good and crisp.
Am I wrong for thinking that he wears a different suit in every scene? I'm pretty sure he does. I'm pretty sure it's like 20 suits.
100%. And that's how
he has one little suitcase on the train.
Yeah.
Yes.
20 suits.
I don't know how much money they're paying for this Music Man revival, but if he doesn't have at least 20 suits, I'm going to be mad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be mad. I was like, that's what I'm paying for. I'm paying for the suits. I'm also glad Wolverine's here. I'm glad to support Wolverine, but he better have a bunch of suits.
Yeah. I want you to wear suits like that. You'd be so precious. Oh,
man. It's the orange one, the orange checkered one. I know, it's your favorite. It's so good. That's the thing, is that, like, there's so many things about this that I love, but also I was like, man, I've never been so excited, and then, like, halfway through the movie been like, I hate this. Like,
So it took me two nights to finish. That shouldn't happen with a show that's the premise is, like I said, it is charmingly, delightfully flimsy. It's a perfect musical theater premise. It shouldn't take as long as, like, The Wolf of Wall Street to play out.
No.
I was kind of, the whole time I was thinking, you know, I think there are moments in this, there are certain songs and certain moments that, to me, go toe-to-toe, if not fully, but, like, respectably against, like, some Rodgers and Hammerstein stuff. I think some of this shit is strong and great and hooky and adorable and sweet.
Till There Was You is one of the best love songs in music.
But I can't help but thinking Oscar Hammerstein would have cut this plot in half and written The Woman way better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, I've never seen, I understand it being this long. I understand, like, a lot of these numbers being in a musical, because some of these numbers, I was like, this is probably, they probably wrote this to change some scenery. And Shapoopy is the 11 o'clock number that you have to have. That's the law. I don't know what to tell you. You got to have a big dance number. And Marcellus needs a something to do other than be a plot device to let us know that he's a scammer.
Mm-hmm.
Marcellus is such a fun role, but it's so unnecessary. But I've never quite seen a musical movie that has the most glaring, this should have been cut. This should have been cut. You guys put the whole thing in here and you really shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Like, there are very few shows that are like that, but I was like, wow. I was like, Gary, Indiana has no business anywhere near this movie. Oh,
being reprised.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, true. Well, now that we've gotten some little gripes out of the way.
Well, no, but that's the thing. But also I was like thrilled. I don't know. It was such a weird umami of a watch.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Little Love. It's like one of those perfumes
that has something terrible in it because it offsets the nice stuff and makes it better.
Absolutely. Alex, do you have Little Loves?
Yes, I have some Little Loves. I wrote them down. I love the melody of Mary and the Librarian. Especially for a show that is built on, like, major key stuff, having something that's, if not minor, but kind of like slinky and like Pink Panther-y, I think really is cool. It's in service of a moment that I think is emblematic of some stuff that I find problematic about the show, that this woman's clearly not into him. And he's like, no, I'll win her over. I'm like, goddamn salesman, just take the no. Although what's interesting about Harold Hill is he has a whole song basically being anti-slut shaming. He's like, yeah, I don't want the girl that's like uber virtuous. I want the one that like knows her way around. And I was like, huh, this is two very mixed signals from this character.
Yeah.
I love
again, excellent song, probably should be cut.
Yeah. I love Goodnight, My Someone. I share a lot personality-wise with Mary and the Librarian, so she's kind of my, for lack of a better term, spirit animal throughout the show.
Aww.
And as a person whose love life has been an unmitigated disaster just for, I don't even know why, it just is, there have been moments where I've been down enough that I've done the Goodnight, My Someone just to soothe myself. So I was like, yep, I get it. I get it, girl. And that's it.
Jaybird?
Also, I love the word cornet. It's just a fun word.
Yeah, it really is. Cornet, it's like cellar door. It just like, yeah. It just, it feels good. So a lot of little loves. It's just little fun times I had watching this that maybe not be loves per se. My favorite thing, just like from a script perspective, is that like he comes upon Marcellus and Marcellus is like, hey man, like I've gone straight. I got a job. I'm seeing a girl. And he's like, hey, you know this cool town you moved into? I'm going to scam him and basically financially burn this city to the ground. He's like, okay, I'll help. Like, he's like,
I'm Buddy Hackett.
He's built a light. Yeah. But, and Buddy Hackett's perfect. I mean, like there will never be a better Marcel. I mean, like it's the best, but he's just like, oh, I'm running a scam on the town that you built a life in. He's like, all right, neat, fun. Like, I was like, I don't think he would help. I don't think he would. I find it so incredibly charming how bad Ron Howard is in this movie.
Yeah.
It's like Howard in this movie, like, I don't know what's going on. Like, child actors now are more professional than the adults, but like Ron Howard in this movie has the acting chops of a very well-trained dog. Like, you can you can see him look off screen to the person telling him where he needs to move, and then he moves where he needs to move. Mm-hmm. It's also my favorite when Amaryllis makes fun of his lisp to his face. He runs away and cries. And she's like, I don't know why he's so upset. I'm like, you just looked him in the face and were like, ha ha, you have a lisp. It's like, also Amaryllis. Why the kids? Yeah, we can cut the kids. Never work with dogs or kids. And Ron and Sour Case, both. my favorite, in this movie in particular, I do love Wells Fargo Wagon.
How's my little love?
Oh, I'm sorry. But in this movie in particular, the ADR on everyone singing the songs, go back and watch it. Nope, like all the, like even the little kids, well, though, like they open their mouth and they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Like they do not sound like children. ADR is really bad. It's
why
really
is this 2-year old a baritone?
Yeah, exactly. It's really, really funny. And also just the term, maybe it's my raisins from Fresno. Love it. Just love it. Love that. I just love, hi, we're raisins from Fresno. We need a one-word suggestion to get started.
I love that this song is essentially just people being jazzed about the UPS truck.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, this could be my Funko Pops.
But also,
like a whole town.
Given the popularity of Amazon and the prof, you know, I don't think we've changed that much.
Well, no. The Amazon truck is probably underpaid and...
yeah. They probably should unionize.
Oh, one more little thing. Did anyone else think, and this is obviously, it's kind of a no shit thought, but just like, you know, when you watch a movie from like the 90s or whatever, and you're like, this whole plot now could be solved with a text message or with Google.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This story, if it happens now, doesn't happen because you Google Harold Hill and it's like, oh, he's on like all the scam lists. Yeah. He might be trending on Twitter for like burning down a town in Kentucky with his like.
Yeah.
Either that or he's like a social media grifter now.
Well, he would never be there because he would just be fishing through the internet, basically. He would just be scamming people that way.
That is a little bit of barrier to entry. And this is, I have a visceral hatred for salesmen. So the fact that this character is so charming speaks to the fact that I'm almost like, I hate everything you're doing. Like,
yeah, I just think it frustrates me that Harold Hill would be a very successful salesman regularly. I just don't think he needs to be a scam artist. I think he'd just be good at it. if he just found the right product. Like, it's like, I think he just, this guy could sell like a ketchup popsicle to someone with white gloves on. Like, my other little loves,
A ketchup popsicle.
A ketchup popsicle to a woman wearing white gloves. You never heard that before?
No.
No, but I love it.
Yeah.
Why does it need to be ketchup flavored? Because you could easily say a raspberry popsicle.
It's more, it's because more, is it, or is it not
impressive that it was also a bad popsicle?
Yeah, it's a bad popsicle.
All right, that's
it's,
gross.
But it's pretty evocative, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
but really I don't like is. It. Continue.
Yeah. But I really do like Till There Was You. I just, that song, every time I hear that song, it's just like, it's just a great song.
I don't wonderful. Like that song.
You don't like that song?
I adore it.
I think I heard it too much as a kid.
There were birds all around and I never heard them singing. Till There Was You. I love it. All the other love songs in this are trash except for that one.
I think it's in service of a moment that doesn't work because it's like, oh, now I'm just nice now for no reason. But it's a wonderful song.
I think. But my last little love, and I've already mentioned it. One Grecian urn, two Grecian urn. I quote that all the time around the house, and you never understood why I did that, did you?
Yeah, no.
There are so many things that I realize I reference that she just smiles and nods at me.
Well, it's funny when you do it.
And I think that she understands. I was like, oh, it's a music man. She knows what's up. And then she's like, what is that from? And I'm like, you just laugh, and you laugh on cadence alone, and I appreciate it.
You're funny. My little loves, you stole my Wells Fargo wagon.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I bank with Wells Fargo, so I have Wells Fargo wagons on my credit cards. and then there is a Wells Fargo wagon in the Philadelphia, like Wells Fargo flagship. And you can, like, it plays a video and you can pretend you're going on a journey in the wagon. And so there's a picture of me somewhere in a Wells Fargo wagon.
Cute.
It's fun. I love Shapoopy because I love a dance number. That's pretty much it. You guys all said it. Balzac also. The only reason I know what Balzac is from The Music Man. and Pick a Little, Talk a Little, just because I used to have to sing it every day to warm up in choir. That's all.
Cheep, 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 cheep.
Talk a lot, pick a little more.
I guess it's that they're clucking like hens because it's gossip, but that's tenuous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's 100% what it is.
They're like, yeah. I'm sure like that must have been like a turn of phrase at the time of writing it. Like, stop pecking like a hen.
Yeah.
But
yeah, right. Hen pecking.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, for a funny way to say it, what would Harold do as he watches his namesake?
Ooh. I feel like Harold might, we've never analyzed what his job is. I feel like he's got some sales experience.
That's why his phone keeps ringing.
Yep. I want him to leave, but if there's some parts in Act Two where I'm like, it can go off and I won't be as mad because I'm like, hey,
wrap this up. Along, guys.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Alex in that I'm not going to yell at Harold because I feel like he would answer his phone and then he would start berating me about not knowing the territory. And I feel like, yeah.
What does that mean exactly? Because... No, I get.
I feel like that's so many. I feel like, and that sums up the entire. That sums up the whole. That sums up the entire comedic voice of this show. What does that mean exactly? Like, it's like, I appreciate that it's funny on first glance, but then what? Like when they're like, "Ye gods," I was like, I think, you know, the old trope. It's like if you can't tell a good joke, tell a bad joke 18 times.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess he doesn't know that. But the problem with he doesn't know the territory is he's such a good salesman. Clearly he does, unless that means something specific. Like he doesn't know, like he doesn't go to somewhere specific and sell regular, but they're traveling. So what is it? I don't know. Understand why they're mad. Other than that he's clearly like an unethical salesman, but they all are. So
I think they're just, I think they are just, it's just, they're making fun of just like sales jargon.
Yeah.
It's just a jargon bit. I think really at the end of the day. But yeah, woof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there a review?
There's a review. This is from Brandy Shea. Please leave Broadway Baby 5 stars and a nice review on your podcast app. It will boost us up like the sales of cornets in this picture. this is love this podcast. This is such a fun and unique concept for a Broadway-based podcast. Plus, the hosts are fantastic. Their personalities really mesh well together. You guys have def gained a fan. Thank you, Brandy.
Thanks, Brandy. And now it's time to sing out, Louise.
Friends, you seem unaware of the dangers of a theater podcast in our theater community. What do you got trouble, my friend? I say trouble right in New York City. Why, sure, I'm a Broadway fan, certainly mighty proud to say it. I consider the hours I spend with a cast album golden. Help me cultivate pitch sense and a cool head, not a cry on cue. But the way these kids are listening these days is getting out of hand. I say it's first Hades Town on Spotify, then the prom on vinyl. And next thing you know, your kid is bringing cookies to a newsy swing and listening to some no-name show that played two times on Guam. Moderation is the difference between a connoisseur and a tool with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pod. And all week long in New York City, youth are going to be twittering. Twitter it away with hashtags. Are certain words creeping into your son's conversation? Words like Stan and TikTok, and which Hamilton characters will be polyamorous? And if they are, hate to break it to you. We all know it's Jefferson. But you got trouble. Oh, you got trouble here in New York City with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pod. Oh, you got trouble here in New York City, right here. That's trouble with a T, that rhymes with P, and that stands for pod. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, even if it's like making fun of it, I'm still like, I can't help it. What is wrong with this?